Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters, and we are recording late on Thursday night, which is day and a half later than we usually record. Now, there's a reason for that. Caitlin, you were outside the United States of America.
Yes, outside the borders of this country.
Right. Well, now, you weren't in, like, Toronto. You were in, well, you were in another, does Toronto speak French? No, that's
more. No, like, that's Montreal.
Montreal, yeah, in Quebec, yeah. But you were in a place that does speak French.
Yes, I was in Paris.
Ah, how was it?
It was really good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much to, like, say about it, but I ate a lot of really delicious things. I made some new friends. The new friends made me Coco Van one night. That was great.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's basically like rooster meat in wine sauce.
Rooster?
Yes.
Like an actual rooster?
C-O-Q, not...
Yes. C-O-Q.
A-U-V-A-N. Yeah. It sounds like a chocolate car.
So it has to be it can't be a hen, it has to be a rooster.
I mean, I guess you could make it with a hen, or but the name of the dish is like it's with the rooster normally. I guess you could.
Okay. It's like an old bird thing. Like you have to use an old bird, right? Isn't that the rule? Isn't that what Julia Childs always says?
I think so. I mean, I was surprised that like the new friends that cooked it for me and the friend I was traveling with, they were like, oh, I don't know how it's gonna be, because normally I like watch it more when it's cooking. And I was like, this is amazing. Huh. Yeah, and there was a cheese course, because of course there was a cheese course. Right. Yeah, it was great. Trying to think what else I did. Went to a couple of museums. There was a really cool one that I went to with my friend, Musée des Arts Foraines, which is like carnival art museum, basically. So they had like old carousels that you could ride and like carnival games from like 150 years ago. And it was cool.
Wow, that sounds great. The French bistro is something that hasn't been successfully duplicated here in the United States, I would say. There's nothing quite like it.
Yeah, I did have a really delicious steak at a bistro that was like... steak au poivre, so it's like with the peppery sauce on it. Oh, huh. So good.
Well, I'm jelly. I'm jealous. I'm not going to speak for you, EZR, but I imagine what Caitlin was just saying is something that you wouldn't mind doing yourself.
Yeah. I don't want to be divisive. I'm just not a big fan of Paris, but I'm sure.
All right.
I'm sure that was a fun trip. Like, you know,
Easier is like the only person that I've ever met that has not amazing things to say about Paris.
Oh. I will say I like the south of France better than Paris. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's just like sunny beach paradise, basically. Yeah.
Right. Right. Like Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like Florida.
Yeah, right? That's what everyone thinks of.
It's to the south, and it's sunny and beachy.
What happened? Oh, we went to, you go to Las Vegas, and everyone goes, wow, it's just like Paris.
Right.
That's what my friend's first words were. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's what you think? I think it's cool, because... Vegas is so cool in that they squish all these things in one little, not a little spot, but a spot.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's your first thought? Your first thought isn't like, how amazing is it that they're squishing all this entertainment in one little desert area?
Well, if I do have money to burn and I want to stay on the strip, I will stay at Paris as opposed to New York or the Bellagio or the Venetian. I do like... the Paris Hotel.
I don't stay on the strip.
What does that say about me?
I've never been to Vegas, so.
Oh, Okay. Well, you're an East Coaster. Maybe you go to
Virginia.
Yeah,
I'm an East Coaster. So.
No, you go to New Jersey.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
I have been to Atlantic City and Ocean City and all of that. Well, I grew up going to like the Jersey Shore beaches.
Yeah, we talked about that on one of the earlier podcasts. Oh,
and I have been to Virginia Beach, Victoria F's hometown.
Ooh, no, okay, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, I lived there for a summer, actually, when I was in middle school.
Okay, hold on. We're going to get to that. Okay, she went fourth, right?
Yeah, she was the last one.
Okay, so don't let us forget to talk about that.
Yeah, because the boardwalk or that they were on looked boardwalk-y, like Jersey Shore. I only know from the show. I don't know from real life, unfortunately. But on as well traveled to the Jersey Shore. So please tell us about that, because that boardwalk looked either really cheesy or like Fisherman's Wharf, which, is famous, but who knows if everyone knows what that
is. Do you want me to talk about it now or later?
I guess later. Sorry, I don't know.
I feel like we should talk about it later.
Okay. Yeah, let's
save
it for
later. So we can hold our listeners in suspense.
Yeah. So, for hometowns, I have the shortest notes ever because they're so boring. And you know he's going to cut someone that he gets along with. And so it never really makes any sense, except that I don't want to have sex with you, but you were good enough to take this far along, or you're not, you know, there's nothing really wrong with you, although with Kelsey.
That's debatable. Did feel that cutting Kelsey was a bit of a twist ending.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought she should have been cut like two, three weeks ago.
I felt like they had something going on.
He was. He didn't sexually desire her, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do feel like it was at least a slight twist in that Victoria F's date went so badly.
Right.
Yeah, that it seemed like at first going in, I was like, it's probably going to be Kelsey going home. And then it was like, but maybe it isn't, because this was really bad.
Right. Mm. I mean, when other people have gotten cut because of their hometowns, it's usually because of something their family did. This was a all straight up fight. I don't know if we've seen quite this level of.
That's what they want you to think, that it's because of the family, but it's like always brewing, except that you never really get an explanation. Kelsey, don't they look at least mismatched? Like, Kelsey looks a 40-year-old soccer mom, and Peter doesn't look like he'd be, like, they don't look good together.
Right. I think I said something like that once a couple of years ago on the podcast, and you told me that was a horrible thing to say, because people can't change how they look.
Where's the proof of that, Craig? I don't think I said
that. No, I remember. You said that's you can't
Craig,
say that,
pull
Craig.
The clip.
Yep. Show me the clip. I don't know if that's true.
I think I was trying to say something like two people can have very different very different styles. That's what I was trying to say. And
I vaguely remember that. But it might have been
but it came out like, well, they look different. You're like, wait a second, Craig, what if, you know, Because obviously interracial couples was what I think you were going after. Like, they can't control their skin colors, so therefore it's not their fault they don't look the same. How was what you said any different? Remember.
Because they don't. They look wrong for each other, don't they? Do they look like a couple that walk up? They just look mismatched.
Well, she's had a lot of work done on her face, I think.
Really?
And he hasn't. So he looks still boyish and she looks overly mature, I would say.
Do you guys think Victoria F. had a breast augmentation?
No, her face.
No. Change subject. Forgetting about everything you're saying.
Who knows about her breast?
Yeah, that's a very different subject. Pretty sure that, I mean, Kelsey's got to have had a nose job with her nose. But then the women in her family, their noses kind of looked like that too.
Yeah, they all kind of had a slight upturned nose, I noticed that.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe she hasn't had a nose job. Right. It just really looked like a nose that had been done.
Right. Yeah.
Well, no human being is born with a duck mouth, though. And she has the duck lips, which are all their age right now. So she's definitely had that done.
Oh, I'm so bad at that. This is another thing I'm bad at. Like, everyone, unless it's obvious.
Well,
like,
I'll meet you in the middle, Izar. If you have one person who's had work done and one person who has not had work done, then yes, they don't look like a match.
Okay. Change the subject, but not really. Speaking of
Aren't we supposed to be talking about the hometown dates
here? Do you think Victoria F. had a breast augmentation? Well, this is kind of unrelated because it's not really there. It doesn't really come up until her dress at the end. And
you mean between last episode and this episode, she had her breasts enlarged?
No, just that last dress made her breast. I mean, for her tiny frame and her tininess in general, like she doesn't have like a big head or like, you know, big hands or anything.
I don't know. I think you can have petite women with large breasts and large women
naturally
with petite breasts.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm not good at that. That's why I'm asking. Okay.
I think from a guy's perspective, that's something you can't really tell until you, you know, feel.
Caitlin?
I did not notice her breasts at all in that last dress. So I can't say. I feel like usually the things that make me think someone's had a boob job is like if you're clearly wearing like a dress or something where you can't wear a bra and then your boobs are like holding in a certain way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what made me think that.
But they're also
taped up,
though.
Like usually that's a thing that I'll notice. I'll be like, that seems weird. Yeah, they could also be taped up in a way.
Well, there's lots of things to talk about, Victoria. I think breasts are the lowest on that list.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. Okay, go ahead, Hannah Ann. Sorry. I am so bad at that. So
I think the big story of the night is these, you know, we're back to these dads, these freakish dads.
Yeah.
I mean, at no point in my entire 90 years on this earth will I ever even cross my mind to put my hand on my newborn daughter and pray for her husband.
Well, you are skipping ahead.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, it comes up a little bit with Hannah's dad.
Yeah, she has a dad that is also a little... He's not... I think that Madison's dad is a more extreme version of Hannah Ann's dad.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, but
same, like, mold of dad.
I don't want to, like, knock religion or family values or things like that, but I just, it's one thing to be a dad who wants to be there for his daughter, is my opinion, and you know, be, you know, make sure that she's instilled with certain values and, you know, is protected from like some, you know, bad things that happen in the world. I mean, I think any parent wants that for their kid, but it's another to like, they come out of the womb and you're praying for their husband. So you're basically praying that for 18 years, you're going to do whatever I say as the father. And then for the rest of your life, you're going to do whatever your husband says. It's like, you're always going to be at the service of a man. Well, that's really great. You know, that's 21st century thinking right there.
It was, it's a little strange that he said something so deeply ridiculous. Spiritual. And made
it's not
it
spiritual. There's like
it's to them. It is
that.
To put your hands on someone and pray over them. It's like a spiritual
for
rite.
A dude.
For I don't know. It made me think that he was kind of maybe in the priest or whatever religion they are, whatever the leaders are. But wasn't it weird to have something like that be translated into kind of carnal ideas? That's the part that kind of freaked me out.
I've never wanted somebody to be lesbian in my life. I mean, if she had turned out lesbian, what? I guess that's it for that relationship. He's going to do what Kelsey's dad did and leave the family and move to Mexico and start another family, right? By praying over her when she's 1 second old that she's going to be with her husband, that's laying some groundwork that is pretty rigid and can never change. And therein lies the problem with radical religious views. It's unwavering. It's not spiritual. It's like religious dogma.
I think here's where I can a little tiny bit defend it. We heard something very personal and intimate and probably has a lot of reasoning and makes sense in context more than it does the way he just said it. And so I really want a lot of context for that to be knocking it or defending it. I don't, I, 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 if someone said that to me, yes, it would shock me. But I, but it's hard to just take a clip.
Okay.
And them to say, like, the translation between spiritual and a corporal body thing really kind of jars people's minds, doesn't it?
No.
It doesn't. You're taking something like you and your husband are a family before you're even met.
Yes, that's the problem.
With a fate.
You want to know what the problem with that is?
And you'll be with your family and your kids forever.
I'm interrupting. I bet you that this guy, as a Christian, is going to be one of the first people to denounce Islam and Muslim for their arranged marriages. Because he hasn't connected the dots that by doing what he did, he's doing exactly what you said. He's setting up a marriage 18 years before it would even be legal and appropriate. And bestowing the set of criteria on her that she has to live up to. Otherwise, she's going to be a failure to her father, which is going to scar her for life.
Yeah.
He's probably the first one to say that the Quran is bad for all the things that the Quran says about women.
I'm defending in theory, not in... If anything like that were to come up and he's a hypocrite, that's different. I'm defending just the, like, completely... The way it sounds crazy and out of context and mostly... Yeah, like unhinged. That's the kind of thing someone raving down the street can say.
Right.
Just the way it sounds. But there's got to be more to it than that. That's why I have a hard time with when they cut something out and we're supposed to be at home going, yep, that's part of this. And I'm like, I don't know what it's part of. Tell me what it's part of. Tell me when that happens. Is this like a baptism? Is it a... But you know, it sounds like it's part of something.
It sounds like it was right after you cut the umbilical cord.
I don't think so. It sounds like a baptism.
All right. Well, let's back up a little bit to Hannah Ann, because I think Hannah Ann's dad was a bit more. How do I say this? A bit more realistic in his expectations of Hannah Ann. I think. There was a few reactions that he was having simply because she's so young, which we all think. I mean, there's that petition that people are talking about, that petition to create an age limit of 27 or whatever it is for contestants. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone agrees that Hannah Ann's way too young. But I wrote this on Twitter, EZR, because it came to my mind. You've talked this season about how, you know, in reality TV, it used to be you had to say you were in love. And then you could have sex in America, wouldn't freak out, right? Mm-hmm. So if a couple said they love each other on TV, then they can have sex and it won't upset the people that get upset about those kinds of things. Then it's mm-hmm. It's devolved a little bit into now you can say, I'm falling in love with you. And that opens the door to sex. See, I think that Hannah Ann's dad understood that. So he's like, Peter, do you love my daughter? No. Are you... falling in love with my daughter? Yeah, actually I am. Okay, wait a second. Don't say that to my daughter. I think because he might have understood that, you know, that opens the door to things that dads, I guess, don't like to think about. Caitlin?
Yeah, I could see that making sense. I think I sort of read that conversation as him being like, well, if you say you're falling in love with her, then that's the step in a serious relationship that's going to make her more likely to get her heart broken, right? That, like, you're just moving closer to the, like, well, is she actually going to be the one you get engaged to? If she's not, then she's going to be, like, heartbroken and upset, and, you know, so, like, I saw it as, like, him being like, well, you shouldn't say those kinds of things unless you're sure you mean them, because, like, well, I think, was this the conversation? I, like, keep on confusing Hannah Ann's dad and Madison's dad. But I think this was Hannah Ann's dad, where he was, like, asking Peter about where, you know, like, what's the relationship with Hannah Ann versus the relationship with the other women? And, you know, I can't remember. Am I saying the wrong one? Where it was like, Peter said, well, if this was the last week, and they're like, it's not the last week, though.
Right.
I think that was Hannah Ann.
I think it was. And I think that's sort of a similar thing, right? Them being like, well, don't say things you don't mean. Don't, like, lead her on if you don't think it's going to be her, you know, like, to just not have it be sort of this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey's mom said a similar thing too, where it was like, "Don't break her heart."
Well, he's going
like, please,
to.
Please, so. Don't do that.
I mean, I hate when parents anymore. Do that. Is the, isn't that isn't that kind of an incestuous defense of like defending their virginity or defending their yeah, purity? Exactly. Don't you go hurting my daughter or whatever. Mm-hmm. It really that really bothers me.
Yeah, I say this all the time. It every relationship ends badly until the one that doesn't. Right?
I mean, right. You can't ask that of people, is what you're saying.
Right. Well, you're going to break their heart unless you get married and stay together for the rest of your life. Now, that has happened, and it used to happen a lot more than it happens now. But realistically, he's going to break her heart.
Yeah, but when parents say that, it just seems so presumptuous and rude, and it's a very...
I don't know.
It's a very protective tactic at that age. Like, it just seems very, I don't know, pretentious or something. Like, oh, my daughter is not, you know, don't you tell my daughter how to, if that was the reason Peter dumped Kelsey, then good for him. I would blame it on that.
Yeah. I don't think that's the reason.
That's not the reason, but I'm going to say it is to myself. Craig, were you going to tell us about the Iowa wine country? You just let the show tell us instead of you.
Oh my God. Well, oh wait, can we go back for one second?
Yeah,
Hannah Ann and Peter. The one thing I definitely wanted to say about them was that Peter wrote that letter to her make up for, you know, her making up the one the other week. And I would like to just quickly mention that Hannah Ann names every dress she wears. And yet we never heard the names of any of these dresses.
Yeah, it was one of the bullet points, right? You name all your dresses.
And I was like, all right, you're going to drop that fact in here and you're not going to have her tell us what the name of the dress she's wearing right now is?
Are they anthropomorphic names like Mary and Sue? Or are they like...
Are they like, my got you dress. My, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would love to know more about this. I would love to know the names of some of these dresses.
Wouldn't it matter a lot? What
would
the theme was
make me think differently, I feel like, depending on what she's going for.
Exactly. If it was a very like interesting, smart, right on theme, I'd be like, you know what, you're smart. If not, if it was just like you said, like, this is, you know, Clyde the dress, I'd be okay, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, there's a lot of wiggle room there.
Yeah,
because art comes in many different forms, and this could be an interesting art project to have a name for every dress. But it could also not be at all.
Yeah, the thing we'll probably never know more about it.
The thing that drove me nuts, Caitlin, is that the note giving or whatever reading of the note took place in this bar, right? The axe throwing bar. The thing that troubled me there is. Her hometown wasn't really a hometown, and Kelsey's wasn't really a hometown because they just went to a bar and a winery. That doesn't strike me as what hometowns have been in the past, where you know, Victoria's was kind of hometowny. They walked around.
No, they had a performance.
Yeah, that's true too. But they used to do a lot more, right? They used to go like, oh, there was where I went to high school, and here's like my favorite coffee shop, right?
Well, that's
they never
what they
went
did.
To just they just went to a bar in the evening. And
this is like
home.
this is what I do when I'm here in Tennessee. I mean, an axe throwing bar. It's not just a bar.
Axe throwing super hip now. What it struck me as is that I get the sense that hometowns used to be sort of isolated from the producers getting freebies that they do with the trips, right? Like the trips are all laid out by the sponsoring city tourism bureau, right? But the hometowns always seem to be a little different. Like they were actually what we get to see what they do in their hometown. But that bar and the winery and even that performance and all the other stuff, it all seemed like it was like the bar sponsored it. Because she's not going, who goes axe throwing more than, I don't know, once a month?
Is it like playing darts in
it's
a
like
bar?
When we talked about the line dancing bar, it's like Peter's there every night. It's like you were saying you do it. Who goes to a line dancing bar more than once? It was kind of like that with axe throwing.
What if it's like playing pool? in a bar to us.
A lot of people don't play pool a lot. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if I were her age, I would have been a senior in college. And if I were doing a hometown, I would have literally taken my person to bars because that's all I knew my senior year in college.
Yeah, but isn't the more troubling thing here the fact that you're going somewhere where there'll be the public and then they'll be like, well, it's definitely Hannah Ann on hometowns. And so then all this stuff gets leaked and it's, I mean, I thought they used to be, they definitely used to be more concerned about spoilers, but now it's like, they, does Reality Steve work for them? Like, it just seems so counter to their, like, extreme oppositely counter to what they actually want. They want the show to unravel now. It seems like they do.
Yeah.
The line dancing bar reminded me of when we get to Iowa's wine country, the dance that Kelsey and Peter are doing in their wine stomping basin is the Texas two-step again.
Oh.
Whoa.
Hey, there you go. Look at that.
I think it might be the only dance he knows, actually.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you got to do something, and that's... Seems like when, if you know it, you got to kind of a go-to dance, I guess. Okay, Iowa. So, yeah. So, here's the thing. There are wine regions in Iowa. The one I know is around the Amana Colonies, which is in eastern Iowa. And there's kind of like a wine tour you can take where these farms make wine. But they're not trying to compete with, you know, like Napa or France or anything like that. They're like wines you wouldn't really get anywhere else. Like... wines made from strawberries or blackberries.
Oh,
or...
Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm?
I'm just kidding.
I have no idea what that is.
My God.
Craig, how
you don't know Boone's
yourself?
Farm?
Well, I think I know what Boone's is.
How do you call yourself a wine expert?
Yeah. How do you call yourself an Iowan wine expert, Craig?
Is there a wine from Iowa called Boone's Farm?
Oh, my God.
Oh no!
It's a it's a wine you steal as a high schooler.
Yeah, Boone's.
And
I know what Boone's is. Yeah. But is it from Iowa?
No, they just have strawberry flavor for the kids.
Yeah, so the strawberry flavor is like the most popular.
Here I am talking about Iowa strawberry wine, and you're laying into me because of Boone's, which is not made in Iowa.
Well, I'm saying that's fruit? What came to mind when you told me strawberry wine. It's not so they stop strawberries and then ferment them.
They do it out of all different kinds of things. And
yeah,
but
I
the thing is,
thought of do either of you watch Schitt's Creek?
No.
They have a storyline about the mother does a wine commercial for a vineyard that does fruit wines, and she's like, these wines are terrible. You know, like she tastes it and is like, ugh, this is horrifying.
Yeah, they are pretty bad. And no offense to Iowa wineries if they're listening, but I guess you would call them not mature wines.
It's, I mean, there goes true. Half our listenership, Craig. It's all the Iowa wineries.
That sounds like Boone's Farm. We should look on the back and see where they're made.
I mean, exactly, they do make wines out of grapes. You can get grape wine. Thing is, I asked once, and they said that they imported the grapes because grapes don't grow in Iowa because you kind of need the right temperature.
Yeah, that's my problem. Is wine the same thing as? I mean, can you? Is it fermented drink or whatever? Because grapes are very okay. I know a little bit about wine making, not about tasting at all, but only because I've lived in wine countries. Grapes are very, very delicate. You have to grow.
Well, they have to be in clay soil
behind a hill.
Yeah,
but near water, and that typically means salt water.
Yeah.
So
you can make wine out of just about anything. Like rice wine is sake, right?
Right.
If you can ferment it, you can drink it. But
But is it a
grapes are particularly
wine only
good.
Grape?
Right.
That's my question. But anyway, when you say Iowan wine country, I'm like, how is that possible if it's not on a coast?
Right.
So it's not. It's Iowan.
If you walked into the Amana Colonies and where there's wine shops, you would see maybe 50% or more would be these different kinds of wines that are kind of like you wouldn't drink normally, but you're on vacation, so you're like, oh, let's get some strawberry wine. which there's a song about strawberry wine. Da, 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 strawberry wine.
Yeah, that's the only part I know. It's like a 60s song, right? Or something? Yeah. Anyway.
And then, you know, some amount less than 50% would be grape wines where they've imported the grapes and made it, I guess, made it locally. Now, they were in Somerset, which is just southeast of Des Moines. So I've not been wine tasting in the Des Moines area, which is central Iowa, which is a couple hours west of eastern Iowa. But it is interesting that the whole her whole narrative has been around drinking wine. And here they are at a winery. So there's something, I guess, to be said about that.
I feel like there's champagne. Something to be said about Peter's name for their wine being wine.
Peter and Kelsey wine?
Yes. Being when wine. She was like, why don't you throw out some names for a wine? And he said, let's just call it wine. That's it.
Oh, no other I thought name. He named it Peter and Kelsey wine.
No, he just named it wine. Not even
I kinda
Peter
like
and
that.
Kelsey's wine.
Oh my god.
That sounds like something I would do.
Well, that makes sense for the relationship. It's just he's uninspired.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
I listened to that and I was like, is Peter dumb?
I didn't even catch that.
How uncreative is Peter that, like, Kelsey said, give me some ideas for the name of a wine. He said, wine.
No, but see, I kind of understand that. I think it's funny.
Craig thinks it's art to, like, have
it's art.
Lowercase one, lowercase W with a dot afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, that
would be
artsy. That exists.
If you added the period, it'd be artsy, not art, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we've done Hannah Ann, we've done Kelsey.
Victoria.
Wait,
oh no, Madison.
Madison.
Well, we talked about her dad. Her like
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about Hannah Ann's
we
dad.
We did not talk about how young he looks. He looks very young.
When did we talk about Madison's dad?
Oh, because she put the hands on the baby and...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right,
that
right.
was Madison's okay. dad.
Yeah, you're right. I actually kind of have a lot to say. See, this felt like a hometown. Even though it was all on campus, it sounds like in the city of Auburn, everything revolves around campus. So, and she goes there, and her dad's the director of basketball operations there. So, I was like, okay, that's cool. She spends a lot of time at the Auburn campus. But we got a little view into that, and you know, it seemed old school bachelor to have Charles Barkley come on big screen and give his little 2 cents, you know. And the coach came out. I thought all that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Now the dad, the reason that the parents look so young, right, is because they probably had her when they were 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
That would make sense. He definitely, like, looking at her dad in particular, I was like, wow, he just has a very youthful-looking appearance for a dad.
He's totally frozen in time, like, of when he had her. Like, his haircut's still very 2000.
Oh, his haircut, man.
Yeah. He looked like a Playmobil guy, like
oh my god, yeah, he
like
did
a little toy. And
well, he's a better looking version of the Duggar dad, Jim Bob.
Oh,
Duggar.
I've never really seen it.
Kind of got that same hairstyle.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I thought their family, you know, the special plate tradition. I thought that could be kind of cute, although. Doing it, like, literally every night would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kind of whatever.
Dinner with your family is great, in theory, to do every night. But if you have to do it every night, then it would be really awful.
But every night you have to say nice things about one member of your family.
Yeah. Well, like, what if you're really, like, engrossed in your homework, or you know, you come home late and you're really tired, or just some, you know, there's a big game on, there's just something that breaks the normal flow of your day-to-day routine. You mean to tell me that they're going to stop everyone at 6:30 and you have to sit down for dinner, and then we have to go around and say words of affirmation or whatever? That would be awful.
See, but I did that every day when I was growing up. And I try 5 days a week to do that with my own family. Not the words, just sitting, no TV.
Yeah, but five eating. Is not seven. I get the sense they do it every 7 days a week.
It sounded like it was a literally every night thing to me. And I'm sort of with Craig in the sense that, like, when I was growing up, well, my dad worked days and my mom worked nights. And we, like, literally never had a full family dinner. And so that always seemed very normal to me. It seemed weird to have dinner with your family every night.
It's definitely the every night. But that's just part of that was just part of the routine. And that was just part of everything. It's like if you stop and do one thing every day, like if you wake up, I don't know, take a bath or whatever.
Well, as you know, EZR, here in Los Angeles, in the like richer parts, like Beverly Hills and those kind of places, there's this phenomenon which really disgusts me, which is people have live-in maids.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to be of Hispanic descent. Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. And they cook the meal. So it's, I don't know if they have one, but it's a lot. To me, the problem is I've been to dinners where you sit down, you have a nice dinner with the family, whoever is your house you're at, and then, but it's the live-in maid that made and served the dinner. And it's like, we're supposed to sit here and think life is great and talk about how, you know, how together we all are when this shadow figure that you're not even supposed to talk to is the one that actually put the work in to make this meal. It makes me so uncomfortable. So I really hope that they don't have that. I hope that goes in as a family to make that meal happen, and then they enjoy the fruits of that endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Well, Madison's mom seems like the type who'd be a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
I don't think they're doing that on a basketball coach's salary.
Oh boy.
Whatever.
At Auburn? Are you kidding me?
But
important. At Auburn, I feel like he might make a decent amount of money. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really know. But then I have a flip side to that I know lots of families in Los Angeles who are, used to be, I guess, middle income, maybe now because of, you know, annual medium income, they've shot down to maybe upper lower income. Do that a lot, especially immigrant families. So I've never seen that. I know what you're talking about. It's on TV. I mean, it's unavoidable, mm-hmm. but I see actual families sit and eat just like my family did. And it's not uncommon here at all.
Yeah.
Sight of town.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of projecting because I've experienced it and hated it. And I don't like, I really have no idea. It came to mind as something that, if you have a lot of money in Alabama, it can go a long way, and you might be persuaded to hire a live-in maid. I don't know. Which, to me, changes the whole phenomenon of eating dinner as a family. Because it's a much different thing to eat dinner as a family if someone else has cooked and served it than if you did it all together or someone did it. And I don't know. Okay, anything else about Madison?
No.
Sweet tea in their wine glasses.
Did you watch the previews for next episode?
What about Victoria F? Are you serious?
Wait.
Me and Caitlin are like, Victoria.
No, but it's important because Madison is going to say something
that changes
everything.
Well, they ended the episode on that, right? Like the very last thing was Madison being like, hey, Peter, can I talk to you for a minute?
Well, that's a little different, though. That's different than the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, so I'm thinking she's going to do the virginity reveal next episode, I assume. And then I also assume that conversation must involve something about how she doesn't want him to have sex with other people.
It. Yeah.
But I don't know if there's going to be two separate things, or, you know what I mean? Like, they might be different conversations. Who knows?
I think they are going to be different conversations because she's following him out of the hangar to tell him she's a virgin. But then they're at dinner. They're sitting down to dinner when she tells him that she doesn't want him to have sex with anyone else. And I think that's if we can tie this all together, I think that's when he says, but I've already had sex. Because he's talking about what's her name, Sydney, or the producers put her as the last.
Oh, you know, the producers are going to put her as the last one.
Yeah.
There's no way. See, if she doesn't have, if the conversation she doesn't have with him outside of, I'm like, I'm getting confused now. Outside of the plane hangar, if she doesn't tell him right then that him having sex with other people would make it very hard for her to date him, right, then you know they're going to arrange it so that he has, like, all of his other dates before her.
Right.
So that
right.
there's an extremely high likelihood that he would have had sex with one or both of the women, at least.
Yeah.
So that, like, they will then have that dramatic moment where she's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, so this is what I wanted to ask you guys. And to me, this is a serious question that begs a serious answer. So, of course, when Luke P. told Hannah he didn't want her. Well, okay, let me think about this a little bit. So Luke P. didn't say to Hannah, if you've had sex with other people, I don't think I can do this. That's not what he said. What he said was, I don't want you to have sex with other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If that's true, I mean, well, in any case, all of Bachelor Nation, I think, rallied around that and said, Luke P., you know, vitriol came out. And everyone really hated Luke P. And it became this, like, feminist moment where, you know, who's a man to control a woman's sexuality, which is great. But so we think Madison's going to say something a little different. Do you think the response is going to be the same, different? Is that good or bad?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of it's going to depend on exactly what she says and how mm-hmm. she says it.
Yeah.
Right.
But the problem with Luke P, the problem with last year's episode was that they took that conversation out of context and played it ad nauseum for people.
That's true.
And then when they actually showed it, no one cared because right. people already had in their mind what you just said, Craig, about mm-hmm. how people felt about it, how it was this like quasi feminist moment. But in this case, we're not getting a full speech. We're getting like a talking into the camera. Her kind. I mean, I didn't see that. I didn't watch the preview.
Right.
But we're getting little hints of it. People are being reminded of Luke P., but everyone's kind of withholding reservation. Whether that's on the producers or whether that's on the audience, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that even though there are definitely parallels between Madison and Luke P. in terms of the, you know, not wanting the other person to have sex with other people and making that clear kind of thing in the religion aspect as well, that I think Madison is generally very liked by most of Bachelor Nation, right? And Luke mm-hmm. P. was not.
Right.
And so I think that that also plays into it as well, that, like, because yeah. you've come in this point in the season, she is, like, Madison has been probably the least problematic woman on the show.
Yeah. And there, I mean, you act, Craig, like it's a double standard, but it's
no,
not
no,
because
no,
Madison's
no.
never had sex and Luke P. had
yeah okay sex. That's fair. No, I didn't want to imply that I'm suggesting it's a double standard. I just wanted to hear what you thought might happen if A, it became a double standard because she did say the exact same thing, or B, it wasn't a double standard because she said something very different. So I think you all gave good responses that satisfies my
well yeah it. if Luke P means, you know, if getting religion is a wash for all your past, I think right. the hypocritical yeah. moment kind of yeah. shine there,
born again virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
although I do have a lot of questions for Madison in terms of, obviously she knew coming into this that, you know, right. she was a virgin and she wanted to not have sex until marriage. But she also knew that he definitely has had sex before marriage, and they've yeah. never had a conversation about it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So it feels like that's a real, to me, I'm like, you should have brought this up at some point because this is going to be important to your relationship and you've been putting it off. But like mm-hmm. how, I don't know how she thinks it's going to go with like dude who banged four times in the windmill, you know?
Yeah, that's right. what he's famous for. But doesn't it, if the same Luke P. standards apply, then maybe she thinks that it's okay yeah. because it's a new year yeah. or whatever.
There's a certain amount of time year. In between. Yeah. yeah.
Exactly. You're, you know, you've closed up a little bit.
yeah. Well, I feel like by not talking to Peter about this earlier in yeah. their relationship, that she has really sort of lost an opportunity to have it be a thing where if he really was like, well, Madison is the one I love and I know that and I'm going to choose not to have sex with these other women because I know that she would want me not to do that, that like she would now say, you know, since we've met each other, I haven't had sex with somebody else or something like that.
Right, right.
But yeah. Because she never had that conversation, he probably has no idea that it's as big a deal to her as it is.
Right.
Right, exactly. I think it's a strategic hide because
I assume she's hiding people... it because she thinks it'll be like a, well, that for one thing, it's like, you know, she's still a virgin and will he find that problematic? You know, will that be an issue for him? So maybe she just waits until she knows he really likes her to bring it up.
That's the kind of thing that I picture Madison before she goes on the show, all her spiritual advisors, however that plays, I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean, anybody, I just don't know what to call them. Like, are they priests? Are they, you know, whatever, clergymen? Like, I don't know what her faith is, but we'll all tell her, you know, if you bring that up on national TV, you will be chastised. So do not bring it up. So I get the feeling she gets bad advice and it's not strategic on her part.
Right.
It's one of those like America doesn't even know how, you know, how we're all going to hell. So you have to keep the, you have to lead by example something. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do think it is like a case of, that I think her, either her own instincts or her advice have led her to a place that's going to make it much harder for her to have this conversation than if she had had it like, 2 or 3 episodes ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No one on these shows ever lives in an apartment. Doesn't that, like, worry anybody?
Well, there was talk that Kelsey's house was a staged house, which apparently is an option.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's probably good reason if you're a fan, if they want the family on and they say, there's no way, though, you can come into my house, having the option to have a staged house, I guess, is better than nothing.
Right. An Airbnb or whatever. All right. Yeah. That makes me feel better. Okay. Victoria F.
All right. Speaking of virgins.
No.
The juiciest hometown.
Oh, so juicy. Okay. So I guess we should start with Marissa, who moved back to Virginia Beach from LA in 2017. And I really,
so
really...
we know she was in LA in 2012 and she's in Virginia Beach from 2017.
Yeah. Well, I just want to set a timeline in case they try to mess with us later, because they always do. You know, they always give us these fuzzy timelines so that we're kind of like, wait a minute. And then we try to force ourselves to believe them. And by them, I mean the producers or whoever. But The Bachelor tends to do that a lot. They'll give us this kind of like, roughly, so that they can change it later. Here is what she said after she said, just be careful. That's all I want to say. Oh, man, it fucks me.
Just be careful. That's all I'm going to say. I'm from here, and I just know, like, what a good guy you are. And I would hate for, like, any of who you are to be affected by somebody else. So... that's really all I'll say, but okay. I know that you're a great guy, and I don't think that you deserve what you're on a date with right now.
What?
What?
You know Victoria?
I do. I actually used to be friends with her, and things happened probably a couple months ago, and we're just not friends anymore. I've tried to, like, mend the relationship.
Maybe still her
just
boyfriend.
Because we're still friends. There's been many relationships broken up because of her, and... I don't think it's a good relationship for you to be in. That's
okay. So it's just to be dramatic when you say, that's all I'm going to say. That's something someone said to me in fifth grade. Don't hang out with those people. That's all I'm going to say. And then like, blah, came out. You know, that doesn't, it just sounds so much worse. Just say the thing. Just say it. It really bothers me. Go ahead. Everybody else.
Yeah. I wanted the details. And what was going on. You know what I mean? I wanted her to be like, well, she's ended this marriage for this reason. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted more.
Yeah. And if it wasn't true, wouldn't Victoria F. say, Marissa is talking about this, this, and this. Here's the real story. But because she was cornered off guard, she couldn't just say, she had to say, I can't believe you believe her over me. You know, you're here to meet my family. I can't believe you do this. So it was a very rough, yeah, the fight was such
gaslighting on her part, because some of the stuff she was saying, even like that thought, right? Like you'd believe Marissa over me. And it was like, well, how can he believe you when you didn't even offer a version of the story? Like you're refusing to say what your version is.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Like he's not even making a choice at this point. He was waiting for you to explain what was going on and you just never did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, turning it around. I mean, that to me also, I don't want to bring it. That's classic Victoria P too. She would have done the exact same thing. So gaslighting has been happening along the way a lot. And this is the first time I think Bachelor Nation has acknowledged it. And I'm kind of upset that Victoria P kind of got a pass. Victoria F doesn't as much. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not that anyone's comparing them, but this one was blatantly everyone dislikes Victoria F over this. And when Victoria P did it, I felt like there wasn't enough pressure to dislike her. Like, I'm sure she got like a 50-50 shot. Like, oh, you know, half the people like her, half the people still don't like her. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Craig. Tell us.
Tell us what people think of Victoria F.
No. Well, okay. Here's what I want to ask you then. By your estimation, Craig, doesn't Peter need a Victoria F in his life to get heartbroken by? How he actually wants her, just to get rejected.
Yeah, because you're referencing past comments I've made on the Bachelor Masters podcast, wherein I have suggested that Peter has not ever had a breakup. He's never had someone break up with him, which is an important milestone in any man's life, any heterosexual cis man's life. Because a woman breaking up with you really tells you what she thinks of you and helps you reevaluate some of your behaviors. So yeah, to your point, EZR, I don't know if Victoria F would be that person. Because she is so manipulative and gaslighting and bad decision making. And mugshots were being passed around yesterday. You know,
Does it really matter who she is? Doesn't it matter more how Peter is affected by it?
Well, it'd be easy to rationalize anything. If she were breaking up with me, it'd be easy to rationalize, like, well, she's the.
Oh, I see. That you can't listen to it. You can't listen to the criticism.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
If someone like it, I mean, so if Madison sat me down and broke up with me, it'd be a much different experience. And she'd probably have a list. Like, here's what I think. If it was you breaking up with me, EZR, you'd have a whiteboard where you'd be charting out.
And a PowerPoint.
See, Victoria F. would already have her next three boyfriends lined up and say, see ya.
Yeah.
She probably wouldn't even break up with you. She would just... So, you know, Daniel Tosh, he has that show on Comedy Central. Uh-huh. In his stand-up, he says that since guys don't like breaking up with girls, like they'll do anything they can to extend it so they don't actually have to go through with breaking up with a girl. So the best thing that can happen to a guy is walking in on your girl cheating. Because it's like, all right, that's it. See you later. So Victoria F. probably does that. It's like, here, I know Peter's coming home, so let's hook up, and then that'll be the end of that.
I guess this is you talking in retrospect, like as if you're Peter 20 years down the road.
Well, you asked.
But, right. But I'm saying, if Peter really does like her that much, and all that matters are his feelings, because he lives in like, you know, la-la cloud land about women. He doesn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. Isn't just the act of getting heartbroken the rite of passage and not necessarily who is breaking his heart?
Well, now you're making me think of some conspiracy theories. I mean, there might be some logic to going on the show wanting to be broken up with.
I mean, I don't think that Peter became The Bachelor specifically with the thought I really need to get my heart broken so I can become like a better person. And this is going to be the best way to do that.
Well, he might think it's good for his Instagram following.
Yeah, I think that could be more likely than like him looking for trying to get dumped really badly. Now my conspiracy theory is that, you know, the future clip that they keep on showing where it's like Chris Harrison going to Peter, like, we just found this out now. And then Peter being like, oh, God, and lying down on a bed and stuff. Like, now makes me think that Victoria makes it to the final two and that whatever they find out is about her.
Yeah.
And she died.
Wait, what did you say?
We just found this out now. You can't propose because she's dead.
She died. Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
That would make a lot of sense, though, based on his reaction.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's something like, we just found out she's a racist and she's been arrested. And Peter's like, oh, no.
Oh, dear Lord. Don't you think that the guy, I mean, I'm sticking with your guys's, I think it was both you guys who said this, that he just wants to take her to the fantasy suite. I'm sticking with that.
She's the third, and he just wants to have sex. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but even with that, if he gets rejected for that, that's still a rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, if as a guy or whatever, you know, last season, Hannah Brown took him to the fantasy suite just to take him to the fantasy suite, cut him immediately afterwards.
Right.
It's not as disrespectful as you think. It's actually a sign of
it's
sexual, like a good thing.
Attraction. Who doesn't want it? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I was the one that went in just for sex, hell yeah.
See, growing up, and what I mean by growing up, I mean in my late 20s, because like I said, I'm so like bad at this. I thought the biggest sign of disrespect was getting cut after the fantasy suites.
Right.
Now that I've met some, it's now right that before. I know more about life, it's before.
See, I feel like a very fun outcome here would be, you know, they go to fantasy suites and they have sex, and then Victoria's like, I'm going to leave instead of being dumped.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think Victoria F definitely fits that profile that she's not going to let Peter break up with her.
Right.
She's going to be the one that initiates that.
Yeah, I mean, I still it was wild to me how they had that fight. It went so terribly. He seemed legitimately like, what the hell is going on, right? Mm-hmm. And then she comes to his really shitty Virginia Beach hotel room the next morning. Like, honestly, that hotel room is very emblematic of like my Virginia Beach experience.
Oh, right. Good. I'm glad we didn't forget. Tell us all about Virginia Beach.
Okay. I mean, again, a lot of this is like, I lived there for a summer when I was in middle school. So the memories are old now. But I will say the beaches are not very good. You would think the name of the town is Virginia Beach. It would be like, these beaches, amazing. Yeah. But the one we would go to all the time had like a weird, it was like clay instead of sand, and your feet would just get like stuck in it when you were in the water. It was just like not a comfortable beach experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember it being really boring. Like, there wasn't that much to do in Virginia Beach.
Is it a boardwalk? Like with wood?
I think there is a boardwalk. Yeah.
Like just with like ice cream shops and tattoo places, like that kind of thing?
I think so. I have like vague memories of there being a boardwalk.
But there's bars, right? I imagine
there's definitely bars. I mean, I didn't go any of them because I was like 11 and I was in a Christian youth camp, so it's definitely not in a bar.
Okay, that's funny. It's funny because well, it's not funny because you were in a Christian youth camp. That seems totally fine. It's just, of all places, Virginia Beach. I guess just because there's hotels there? Is that why it was there?
I had family that were living there, like an aunt and uncle and some cousins. So I went to go stay with them for the summer. And they were very religious. why am I fearing the word for it? Christians that are evangelical Christians. Yeah. There we go. So they put me in the Jesus-y summer camp.
And because they happen to live in Virginia Beach, that's
and because they happen to live in Virginia Beach, that's where it was. And yes, I remember we had that summer camp. I was cleaning my uncle's boat a lot. Like we all the kids had to go and clean the boat. I remember that. And that I was on the swim team, like the local Virginia Beach swim team.
Oh, cool. Wow, that's neat. You could say you swam for Virginia Beach, whatever that means. Sounds cool. I mean, I've been to Daytona Beach a couple times for spring break, and you know, despite beach being a name there, it's not a very good beach.
Yeah, I remember being like, why is this beach so bad? I thought this town would be like it would have great beaches.
Right. I think it's because you have crazed, drunken college-aged kids there all the time tearing up the beach.
Yeah, I think it is like there are definitely college kids in Virginia Beach too, and there's like military bases nearby, so there's like a lot of military families.
And they party hard when they're back because that's like a Navy base, so they're back
I think it's a Navy one.
So they're back from deployment, partying hard.
Yes. So yeah, most of my memories, I was like, it was shittier than I thought it would be, and so I was not surprised that Peter's hotel room was not like a lush, beautiful suite, but it was instead like a regular hotel room, you know.
You don't think they were trying to save money? You think that might have been the best?
I think that's the best you can get in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
You should have seen the hotel that I and 20 other people stayed in Daytona Beach.
Boy. I would have been interested. We didn't see his hotels, I think, in any of their towns, right? Like not in Auburn or Des Moines or Knoxville, but I would be interested to know what the comparison was. Like, were they similarly appointed hotel rooms, or were those ones nicer, or like, yeah, were they trying to save money because they weren't planning on really showing Peter's hotel room on any of these because they didn't need to, you know? But then they did need to, because Victoria came back there after their fight the night before and basically made puppy dog eyes at him and said she was falling in love with him, and he was like, well, that's good enough for me.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah, well, but see, she's... there's an example of her having to say that to take her to the fantasy suite, isn't it?
Rephrase that.
There's an example of her or someone having to say the word love so that if she's advanced the fantasy suite, it's okay.
Yeah, like we said earlier in the podcast. Yeah, you got to say you're falling in love in order to have sex. Yeah, and I think she's probably been in enough arguments with men in her life that she knows how to apologize the next day.
Yes, she definitely has that, like, pushes them, plays hard to get. She doesn't want to confront what she's being accused of, but she pushes them to the edge to see if she can get them back. And that's the game. If what everyone's saying, see, I didn't know what you were saying originally, Craig, was going to be in the show. I don't know if you did, but who knew? Some of these things always come up after the fact, after the show airs. Right. And in this case, it was like in the show. Right. So she definitely knows the game of pushing people right to that edge, bringing them back, and then walking away, which if you are not good at that, you don't walk away. You like are like, why are you doing this? But she's so good at walking away.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing on my list.
In the interest of keeping this podcast episode a little shorter, let's make whatever you're going to say the last thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it finally was brought to my attention that her dad died at 19, and that's why her dad I really don't like this because, I really don't like this because very few times do the contestants say, we're going to meet my family. That means my aunt, my cousin, they'll just throw them into or us into.
Yeah. And then you have no idea like who this person is.
Yeah.
To them.
And it's very jarring to someone at home because you're like, is that person related to them? Is that a husband of somebody? Sometimes they'll let the contestant say it, but sometimes they won't. So I guess that dad for Victoria that we only saw a few seconds of because they didn't actually go in the house is not her real dad. That's probably her mom's boyfriend or
not her biological dad.
Not her biological dad.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I don't know how she feels about it. I thought it was important to tackle this because she's taken on white identity. Whether she's internalized that identity, or is it because she's living where she's living, or trauma from her father dying early-ish? Is she denying her father's side? So I was just pointing out that the fact that she looks the way she does and then models, even if it's tongue-in-cheek,
right,
White Lives Matter stuff, where is the, you know, and to be fair, and Craig, I say this to you, that is, if she's dealing with this kind of trauma, shouldn't we not shame her for internalizing a lot of self-hate? Maybe she is legitimately confused about, and I, maybe Caitlin, you can fill this part in. Mm-hmm. What is Virginia like racially? Virginia Beach, like, it just seems like there's a lot of, you know, the more people criticize Victoria F., the more I think she's, I mean, no one just steals someone's husband. And I mean that in the most, you know, pop culturally way with no analysis required, without having a lot of issues about self-esteem. Hmm. So yeah. I'm kind of like, that's why the comment about her and her family is relevant.
Mm-hmm. Huh. See, this both makes more sense to me, but also is surprising in the sense that I would have thought her father dying when she was still, you know, pretty young is something that normally would be brought up in the show as part of their, like, sob story thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That normally this would have come out in some conversation when it's like, what makes you you? And it would be like, well, my dad died when I was 19 and, like, I have all this complicated stuff going on. But that didn't happen, which makes me feel like that maybe even the producers didn't know the full story when she first came on because she didn't want to talk about it.
Mm. How does everyone online know? Not everyone. How does a big chunk of people online know? How do a big chunk of people online know?
Reality Steve?
Right. It must be something. But I'm saying that I was told as if, didn't you hear that part? But that's not, I never heard it.
You're referencing me texting you that. That info. Yeah,
No. People told me they're like, oh, it turns out she was adopted or not adopted. You turns out her Instagram dad died when she was 19. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like in a nice way, not in a rude way.
I just think things go viral when they come from the top, you know. There's like Reality Steve and a few others, and if it it trickles fast. Mm-hmm. And I think it, you know, especially if it's something people really want to know. I got the sense that immediately people were wondering what was up with why her family, you know, was culturally not matching the preconceptions of what the family should look like based on her
outwardly
cultural identity. So
if everyone knows that, what is she?
Information.
Yeah.
So they're going to go find it.
But if everyone knows that part, how come no one can tell me what she is?
Because that's harder to find out, I guess. I don't know. No.
I mean, her last name is Fuller, so it gives absolutely no context.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right about the white identity. I mean, I hadn't thought of that when I kind of was thinking about the whole thing. Like, she has taken up, I mean, the White Lives Matter thing, our listeners know my/our opinion on that. And, you know, once you go down that tunnel, and I know this because I walked it through a tunnel once. It's very, very difficult to go back the other way if a train comes. Sorry.
Are you using an analogy you just made into an actual event?
In San Francisco, there's a train tunnel, and I decided that I would walk through it because there wasn't a train. And then when I got in the middle, a train came. It was horrible.
Scary.
So I was going to say, once you go White Lives Matter, it matters. Hard to go down that tunnel and turn around and go back. And then I remember that I actually can back that up with actual experience.
It's not how metaphors work.
I know. Right? Okay, well, we're laughing. Let's end here unless anyone else has anything to say.
Nope.
No, nothing important.
Everything's important that you say.
Yeah, go crazy, Caitlin.
Okay, I was going to point out in the rose ceremony Madison's sparkly jumpsuit is very like Donya Marie Osmond. But I liked it, actually.
Had she worn it before?
I don't know. I don't think she has. Maybe she has. Okay.
Maybe it was Kelsey had a similar sparkly dress or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, they were both wearing green. There were two green dresses.
Yeah. But Kelsey's was like, oh, velvet robe. Yeah. Her clothier label is not, she's not advertising herself very well, whatever she does.
I liked her dress better than Victoria's, though.
Oh, yeah. Really? I like Victoria's, but her possible breast augmentation really threw it all off. I was very like, what's going on there?
I feel like it didn't fit well in the front. Like, the dress was weirdly sort of loose around her chest in some ways. And it seemed weird. Like, I was like, what's the fitting of this?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do a full fashion roundup next week. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. Let's cut it off here. Yeah. It's late. And
we better find out Hannah Ann's dress names next week.
Yes, we better. Are we going to be in Peter's hometowns, I guess? I don't know. I forget how it works.
No, they're going to the Gold Coast of Australia.
Oh, right.
I'm not excited about it. I just said it the way they said it.
So he's going to take him down to 2 and then go meet his parents?
Bring him home, Peter.
Fantasy suites occur off site.
Fantasy suites occur in a black site.
Yes. The CIA black site in
Australia. so they can kind of say like the first time we ever so they'll always kind of talk about it that way so it sounds better. Okay. And then they're somewhere and typically the lead's family will come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although this time they're at home. That was their home. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Follow us on social media. Give us a review on the Apple iTunes podcast app. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.